Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Translation coming along?
Slowly. Huajat, their word for eat?
What about it?
With emphasis on the first syllable, huajat, it means to mate.
I can see how that might cause some confusion over dinner.
Context is critical in every language, but Cretacean has the most subtle variations I've ever seen. The same word can have a dozen different meanings.
We rely on you to recognize the difference, Ensign.
You think it was my fault?
I didn't say that.
You implied it.
I simply noted that linguistic matters fall within your responsibility. For all we know, it was Mr. Tucker's table manners that offended them.
But you think if I picked up the language faster, they might have not stormed off the ship.
There's no need to react emotionally. Try to learn from failure. It could help your next first contact be more successful.
Thanks.
Bukkake!
Yeah, really?
Bukkake!
So, what do you want to do about it?
Bukkake.
Yeah, I mean, but what with? What?
I don't understand.
In the usual way.
I don't understand what you're talking
usual
about.
Usual materials.
What do you mean, what with?
The usual equipment.
I mean, you're the one bringing it up. So I'm just asking, what with?
I don't know how to respond to that.
Do you think I know how to respond to bukkake as an opening?
What with? Wouldn't it be with what?
Whiz with? What whiz?
Whiz, wit, wit, whiz?
Wit whiz.
Wit whiz. That's what they
wit
say
whiz?
In Philadelphia.
Right. Bukkake wit whiz?
That doesn't sound good.
It's whiz with.
I don't like the whiz part or whiz the
with?
Bukkake
yeah,
part.
It's whiz with.
Whiz with?
Supposedly. I bet that's all a big lie so Philadelphians funny. Tell like people
Philadelphians tell people.
That aren't from Philadelphia. Like, just to be like
these jiggies.
It's like, you want to know like the real way to order a Philly cheesesteak sandwich? Nobody says that.
It's a city full of sneaks, I think.
Yeah. City full of sneaks.
Philly, they have that phrase. Isn't it like John or something? John?
Bron?
Yes.
Bron?
Something
I don't know.
Like
they have some weird words.
Yeah, John.
There. John? Yeah, John. It's like J-A-W-N.
Yeah.
It's like sort of a catch-all. I never fully understood
it's like
how
that,
you
it's
use
like,
it.
It's like talking is about like that oh, John.
I was reading a book by Questlove and he used that word because he's from Philadelphia.
Isn't it like saying like that junk, that John?
I think so, but I'm not 100%
sure. He was
certain.
Using it in reference to women, I believe.
I John? Thought it was like I was really into that John, or it's like I brought with me a bunch of that John, you know.
Yeah,
it's like stuff,
right? Like yonks.
Yeah,
yonks.
Yeah, yeah. Words are interesting.
Janks.
Sometimes words are interesting. Words can be very boring.
Sometimes
you know a word that's not boring.
Star Trek.
Rock the Gino, extra sweet, macabre bread, no crust.
Yeah. I was gonna suggest
Chief O'Brien.
One word that's not boring is bukkake.
Oh,
or possibly if you want to add a modifier, space bukkake.
What?
All right. So, enough of that. I mean, not enough of that, but just a heads up. I know we haven't done the welcoming and all that other stuff. We'll get to that in a second. But I just at the top of the show,
people know they're
just a heads up. Mm. And I'm not speaking for my colleagues Dan and Jesse here. This is just me, good old Patrick.
Precisely.
I'm gonna warn you ahead of time because I'm incapable of doing otherwise. There's gonna be a lot of cum talk. In this episode, a lot of
that much is obvious.
Yes, there's a lot of semen, a lot of cum.
I'm just going to refer to it as the plasma monster because I'm not. I don't want to keep talking about
the
semen
plasma
and
monster.
Semen and cum.
But I have in my notes. I have a couple of points.
Oh,
here.
That's why you said bukkake.
What? Why did you think I said bukkake?
I didn't know why you said bukkake. I was like, why is he saying? Did you know, Jesse?
He's a a titillating fellow.
Jesse, did you know why he was saying that?
No, I wasn't catching on either because I wasn't.
Neither of you caught on.
I wasn't really thinking about semen while I was watching this.
But I mean, there's a bunch.
There were a few puddly scenes.
I mean,
not a few, a few. All right, we'll get to it. Let's start the.
Hard to say.
Let's start the podcast properly.
Wow, Patrick's
start the cumcast.
Take it easy.
Oh man,
I was like worked up there.
Apparently, it's got cum. It's got cum show.
What are these guys? They're not picking up what I'm putting down, the Bukkake business.
Yeah.
All right.
I sincerely apologize.
We were totally spaced.
And we'll talk about Mayweather, actually, gets to do some stuff here.
The star of the show.
Saves the day.
Episode. I mean, maybe we've already said it all right there. But all right. So go through the regular order of business here. Hello. Hello. And welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's been a challenging morning, to say the least.
I thought that when that opening happened, I kept rewinding it because I kept thinking I missed like the first 5 seconds.
It started in media res.
Yeah, it's just like, I was like, wait, it feels like there was supposed to be a little bit more build up to this. Mm. Like it was supposed to,
With the Cretacins?
I thought there was going to be a reason as to why the Cretacins were on board in the first place. Well, I know we don't really need to know, but it was confusing. It almost felt like they had to shave off a few seconds, and so they just took it off at the beginning.
Another way to put it
there
is
a few bits of this show like that.
Because it began saying Captain Starlog supplemental. I love when it's supplemental. Yeah. I love the supplemental Starlogs. It says. That word's been holding on throughout the whole series. Mm-hmm. Supplemental. Captain Starlog says, he goes, I'm beginning to wonder if inviting the Cretacins on board was such a good idea. It's been a challenging morning, to say the least. Doesn't that feel like it should have a few more sentences before it? I don't know.
Perhaps.
The supplemental logs, they're just doing it like in media res. Yeah. They're just doing it, you know.
Yeah, but you got
to... I got to spare a moment. I got to tell what's going on.
But you need some context.
Yeah.
Context is for kings.
I see.
Captains.
Another way to interpret is that the writers trusted the audience would figure out in rapid order, which we do, this is a first contact situation that's gone bad.
I mean, it's not like I didn't know what was happening. I was just confused by the rhythm of it. I'm saying like it didn't, just because you understand what's happening doesn't mean that it's not important to have those filler bits.
What's not clear to me.
Like, for example, you could have a sentence where you cut out all the ands and its, and you could probably still under the same sentence, but it's fucking goofy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's off-putting.
So just to clarify, because
a lot of language is just filler words. To make it prettier, you know?
Right.
It's a very interesting thing you said there, Dan, and I don't think we're going to have time to examine that as deeply as we ought to. What I wanted to get some clarity on, although I think I know where you're going here, is you've made this observation, but you weren't a fan of this. I kind of dug that it just sort of like popped us right in there and was like, what the fuck is going on? Oh my, shit's going down.
I'm not saying I'm a fan or not a fan. I'm just saying So you're asserting that I'm not a fan, and as soon as this is what you said. This is what you said. You said, so I'm assuming you're not a fan, Dan, and then I went to explain myself and make it clear that I'm neither a fan nor not a fan, but then you interrupt and go like, oh, it's okay. So you're trying to assert that I'm not a fan, and then you won't let me answer, so everyone's gonna think I'm not a fan, when the actuality is I am neither a fan or not a fan. I don't care, but it is disconcerting.
Okay.
That's all I'm pointing
at. So it put you off, which was a perfectly valid...
It was a little off-putting because it was confusing. I kept rewinding it, thinking I missed the beginning.
It's an important...
because sometimes with those...
We have these diverse perspectives on
sometimes
this podcast. We're not always going to agree.
Sometimes with those streaming devices, depending on what streaming device you use versus the service you're using, sometimes it fucks up a little.
Yeah,
you
don't want to do the rewind.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. All right. Continuing in the regular regular beginning matter of the show, this is episode 336? I think 336 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Here it is.
That's right. Right here. Right here. Okay. And on this podcast, you can expect, in addition to sophisticated, relaxed, contemplative, well thought out discussion of the episode, the title I'll mention in just a second.
Absolutely.
In addition to that, we're going to do all sorts of stuff. I'll ask Dan about that in a second. We'll have
about his duties and his no duties.
Where the hell have I heard that before? There may be some duties or no duties, Dan.
I imagine so.
You're mad. Dan suggests that using that clip, he's communicated. Hoshi would have picked up on this right away, but Dan's communicated that there may in fact be a duty or no duty. And if you don't know what that is, if you're a new listener, don't worry.
Even Hoshi on a bad day.
You'll figure it out when we get to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do that. You know what? Let's make a point. We'll do that at the beginning of the second break. You want to do that, Dan? Want to mark it down here?
Duty
or no duty, beginning of the second break.
Yes.
Excellent. This is my favorite part of the show. It's a useful way for Dan and I to communicate.
Good.
Are there any that's in orders?
Don't worry. No.
Wait, was that a no at the end?
Don't worry. Of course not.
Okay. All right, so that's a negatory there. No, that's in orders.
I played the no tour.
Lists. Do you have some lists? Like lists of things that look like cum?
No cum list.
You don't have like a list of things that like look like.
Seems like you should have made that
puddles
list.
Puddles of cum?
I mean, what do you want me to pull out time codes? Like,
what doesn't have to be time codes?
It's like that scene right there when this happened and that happened. Did you see that right there? In that part between when he said that and she said that, there was a pile of cum right there. And that part right there, some cum dripped off the tendrils.
All right. Well, okay. If it's not a list of various semen related things, are there any other lists that you, Dan, have put together for our audience?
I have a list of all the times where they mention Hoshi like talking about communicating. Okay. called Hoshi Listens.
I'm gonna call you out on something here, Dan.
What?
You are fond of pointing out when Jesse does something that goes against our regular order of things.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe Jesse says the title of the episode too early, and we haven't said that, by the way. We will. Right. Or whatever. When Jesse goes out of the order, you're fond of just like leaping on him pointing out that we've been doing this for hundreds of episodes.
Committed the greatest offense.
I've noticed something lately, Dan.
What? What have I done? What have I done this time?
No, it's not what you've done.
No.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
This is interesting to me. We've now made it a pretty regular habit that I'll ask you, you know, about like your lists and stuff. And then you're always acting like, I don't know if I have like a...
That's right.
Maybe. That's right. Maybe I have like 19-point list.
Well, it's right. It's not really a list. It's just sort of a collection of points.
Every time Reed did something a little odd. You know, I don't
know. It was simply a misunderstanding.
Because just now you're like, man, I don't know. You know, maybe I've got like, maybe. I don't know, like a list of some Hoshi bullshit. I don't know.
I honestly like never really know at the time it happens because lists are just so intertwined with my life that it's hard for me to know if they're there or not. Like
what were we discussing last week? Because we still haven't talked about what we're discussing this week.
Last week we were talking about Voyager's Eye of the Needle.
Eye of the Needle.
Yeah. You talked over my outro sounds.
Did I talk over your outro sounds?
Yeah, I played like five sounds. I played a lot more sounds than I usually do, but you started talking like halfway through.
Was that the end of the episode?
Yeah, the end of the episode sounds. Oh, yeah. You were like, you started, because it was, this sound. It was that sound.
Blast from the past.
All
right.
Verneron emanations.
I do that a lot.
Secondary particles.
And you started like freaking out.
Because it was making me a little horny.
And then because after that, I played.
Cam Janeway talking about Verneron tunneling.
Because after that, I played.
I'm going to kill Neelix.
After that, I said.
We'll be in touch. No.
That's what I played afterwards, and you were talking.
Well, I apologize if I talked over that. I do want to draw people's attention.
So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm being a hypocrite.
No worries.
Guys.
No. I was just fooling around.
Jesse, are you mad at me?
Never.
You ain't mad at me?
I'm never mad at you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
I will point out.
So sweet of you.
Point out. So
how sweet it is to be loved
never been
by
mad at you.
For those
who aren't in the know or who are already asleep in bed or what have you by the end of the episode, I always try to, you know, put a little fun little audio tag at the very, 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 very end. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's better than others. I enjoyed last week's because I don't know if either of you noticed because you have to listen all the way to the end.
Didn't you do a trick? You did a trick.
I did a trick.
You like cut it off and then ended with some kind of like, you thought the doctor was going to keep saying something and then you made it like,
it's the scene where Janeway comes into the medical bay, you know, to the doctor doctor's office, and he's not activated at the time. And then so there's this like long thing where Janeway just sort of walks into this quiet room, mm-hmm. and looks around, and then she's like, you know, emergency, medical, blah blah blah. And he says, "Please state the nature of the medical emergency." She's,
right.
And she says, "There is no emergency." He's like, "Oh, that's good." Yeah. And then the scene continues, but I just added in more dead silence, so yeah. It just sounds like they're standing there staring.
Yeah,
at
yeah. I remember I was listening to that, and I remember.
I know it's not
I was
cool.
Being, no, I was being
call out your own gags. It was, but that's a good gag.
It was. I was amused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is one for the books.
Indeed, and so.
And you do it at the end after, like, so we can't talk over it.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah, that's just,
yeah.
It's,
how
it's,
convenient! It's
while you're editing, you just tag it.
So I'm gonna intercept it when you're not looking. I'm gonna talk over it, yeah. And then like while you're asleep at night, I'm gonna come in your room, talk into it, and then you're gonna like put it on there and on the internet, and I'm gonna realize it.
I'm not gonna because Dan thinks that I don't QA these recordings.
Okay, well then I'll hack the internet line.
You tag my fucking mainframe.
I'll hack your mainframe. So as you're uploading it, I'll intercept the bit stream, and I'll weave in my own voice as it's going up into the web.
I'll have no defense against that.
Yeah, you're right. You'll be fucked.
Okay, so this week, what are we discussing? We are discussing Star Trek Enterprise Season 1, because we've been discussing some Season 1s lately ever since we did Starfleet Academy Season 1. We thought, let's do some more Season 1s.
No way.
So this week, we did a Season 1 episode of Enterprise, specifically Season 1 episode, I believe 22, entitled... Yeah. Space Bukkake.
No.
Dan was about ready, so Dan's all ready to play his little sound clip.
No.
My little sound clip. Dan's going to play
little Danny with his sounds and his little bits.
No. It's not Space Bukkake. Come.
Oh, man. Now, you're the blue one tonight, man.
Talking he's about super blue. He's so blue.
I'm just gonna call it a plasma monster.
Plasma monster.
To me, that sounds grosser. That's saying like gentleman's relish.
Or it's like a
baby batter.
Or it's like if on break I say I have to go on a bio break.
Yeah, we've talked about that, right? That we're not cool with
I was
that.
I was in a work meeting.
How is that a work safe?
I was in a work meeting, and he's like, let's take five. I need to go on a bio break. I was like, you're gonna take a shit?
Unless you're a biologist, that is not cool for work.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah, bio break. It makes me think of like a big pulsating turd. Oh, is what it God. Makes me think of. Yeah. Like a squirming
like,
pulsating turd.
Like you're creating a life in there.
Yeah, exactly. You're like you're creating life out your butt.
I agree. No, it's some sort of genetic engineering going on.
Yeah.
And slapdash slipshod.
I'm going to go work on my homunculus.
Mm, oh, no.
We have seen this.
If you work on your homunculus too long, your room ends up looking like the shuttle bay or whatever.
there's a cargo bay
in this episode.
It looks
this
like Facebook.
And this episode is, in truth, titled Vox Sola.
I suggest you begin.
You'll be on the edge of your seat.
That's the sound that cum makes when it comes.
Yep. That's the sound of cum makes when it comes.
When cum is coming.
This episode is rated E for explicit.
Yeah, all of our episodes are, but this one in particular. I mean,
it's rated
I don't know
C
why.
For cum.
I mean, semen's a regular old thing.
It's rated B for bukkake.
People shouldn't be.
I mean, bukkake's not a regular old thing.
Well, I mean, maybe not.
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
Semen, like, okay. Look, should we just
a regular?
Let's just start. Like, if you
want, happening all the time.
Try to get as much of it out of the way as possible. Here's the thing. Like, okay, people might say, like, oh, Patrick's being a little ridiculous. He's talking about cum and semen, bukkake too much.
I imagine so.
This creature did not have to look like this. They could have made it any other color. They could have done everything identical. And had it be green.
Could've
and if it was
purple.
Green, it wouldn't look like cum. It would look like boogers or slime. Yeah. They could have it be black or blue. No. You know what color they made it? They didn't even make it white. It wasn't like, oh, we want a white slime creature. I forget who the production designer is on this, but I don't know if it was him or if it was Rick Berman or who it was. Somebody went to this guy and said, like, here's the deal. You got to make sure whatever you do, when you're putting together this creature, you got to make sure it looks like a big boatload of cum. And what we got to do is, at certain points when people are like, oh, it looks a little like cum, but maybe 100, not 100% like cum, then you got to splash some fucking cum on Chip Tucker's face and then make a puddle of cum around it. Like, that's what they consciously chose to do that. You can't tell me otherwise.
Well, that's the point.
Maybe this is just a vestige. This is one of the last gasps of pre-September 11th life in America.
Do you think it was some kind of FCC joke they were playing? Like, they were like, we're going to make this as seeminy as possible, and the FCC can't do anything about it, even though it's very obviously a cum monster?
I don't know, but I mean, to me, there's so many slightly different choices that actually probably would have been easier to do. I don't think it's that easy. I think they used, I mean, both the digital and practical effects, the amount of the years of Hollywood crafting experience that had to go into making this look like a big old ejaculate monster, like, that took work and planning, and it would have been easier for them if the thing was, we want like a tentacle, a Star Trek tentacle creature. That's nothing fucking new. Did they just want to be like, hey, you know what we haven't done yet on Star Trek? We've had Kirk hold a rock that looks like a penis. Mm. We've had Data fuck Tasha Yar. Mm-hmm. Now we have to have like Captain Archer and Trip Tucker. Maybe it was did one of the actors lose a bet or something?
Hard to say.
I mean, it was first season. I don't know. Maybe somebody was just all about, like, you know what? You know, that guy from Quantum Leap? I've always wanted to see him strung up in a big old pile of cum. And then,
I told you.
And then weirdly, like, everyone else is sort of wrapped up like almost like a spider cocoon, but Archer is kind of hanging their spider cocoon, and then his right hand is just like in another, it's like trapped in a separate pile of cum.
Well, I gotta say that I'm actually pretty, I'm not impressed with the CGI. This was in that this was in that no man's land of the early 2000s effects, mm-hmm. where they just started realizing they could do more things with CGI. Yeah.
On the TV level specifically.
But they weren't good at it yet, but they felt they felt confident with it enough that they felt they could use it everywhere. So none of the CGI looks like it fits in anywhere.
It's because, like, unlike a movie that has months and months and months, limited resources.
And the thing that even takes me out a bit more is the fact that there's this dissonance between the CGI monster and the practical effect monster.
And could you describe in significant detail, Dan, what are some of the nuances between the difference of the practical effect and the CGI?
This is not going to be a semen discussion.
I'm just saying, why does
for?
The CGI one sort of leave you lacking to some degree? Is it simplistic? It doesn't have enough translucence?
There's not enough dripping
sort of
shit.
Sort of like silvery gray creamy translucence?
Okay. I know where you're going with
this. I'm having a conversation, Dan. Oh, talking about
conversation.
You implied it.
It's not fucking implied, man. It's right there on the screen. It's crazy. This is crazy.
Anyways, as I was saying, I will say that the CGI version looked kind of dry, actually. It looked shiny and dry. It didn't fit in with any of its surroundings ever. It stood out too much. It was it looked like a different creature almost. It looked more like, it looked more like neon and synthetic and stuff. Like, but then when you came into the practical effect, it was more like stringy and tendrily and like drippy and stuff like that. You know,
different layers of texture.
Yeah, right. It did. So the practical effect I thought looked really good,
really, really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you compare it with the CGI effect, it just completely took me out of it. And this was that like I said, that time where they felt too confident with CGI. They felt like they had to use it and everything, but they sucked at it. Well, like, the problem that Babylon 5 had is, like, they tried to do too much CGI, more CGI than they were capable of doing.
It is great to be ambitious, but obviously as time goes on, and I'm kind of curious, it'd be interesting to know whether it's what you're saying, or it might be that they were kind of locked into CGI in a certain sense, because, like, this, what is good, the CGI for the spaceships and the CGI, you know, when they like go to a planet or something and they have like the background, like, they were good at that at this stage. Yeah. Like, that was good. The ships, anything like static, really awesome. So maybe their pipeline was just like, this is our option. So even though we know we can't do it as well when it's an organic wobbly thing.
Now, I will say that even though the last scene basically took the CGI of that plasma monster and spread it across the planet, so it technically kind of looked the same, I thought it was a really cool shot. That was like a real sci-fi shot right there. They're like with the music all like ominous music, and they're leaving the planet, and as they leave the planet, it goes away, and you see there's this like this covered with this organism. Like, I thought that was badass. That was kind of awesome, even though it was like the same CGI. Somehow in that final scene, it kind of worked.
I think that's the contextual aspect. The context of CGI is super important, and because it was all that, I think it worked better than when it was like on the ship that we're so familiar with.
And I want to quibble with T'Pol's correction, because Hoshi was talking about they, and T'Pol said it's like not they, it's an it, it's one organism. It. But when it comes to an organism, like, is an organism an it or a they?
I mean, and you mean organism, not orgasm, right? I'm just saying we're gonna have there to... could be there. I, given the nature of this episode and all the semen involved, one might think you accidentally said orgasm when you.
We have a problem.
Is this how this whole episode's going
to
go?
No, it's not, because Dan's going to scold me when we get to the break.
I mean,
no,
I'm not. He's going to be like, has this organism absorbed other beings?
That's a good question.
It's taken over the whole planet.
See, that's a good question. See, okay. First of all, I want to get back to the organism, it versus they, because you could say Patrick's an organism, Jesse's an organism, I'm an organism, we are the result of orgasms, we are organisms.
Fair point, yeah. I mean, but, one should hope.
So
at least on half of that equation.
So we're a collection of organisms, but you could call the human race an organism, as a whole, an organism.
Like a system.
Like a system. System. Well, yeah, it's just a living system.
Even your example of the body, there's the human organism, but we have all the bacteria and stuff that we need. It's not part of our DNA, but like our gut flora, the stuff on our skin.
An organism is just a way to define a collection, really. Yeah. But and especially at the last scene, remember that little tentacle, the one that Phlox was playing with? That, first of all, I thought they were going to do a fake out scary scene when the tentacle was all crawling up his arm. You thought it was going to be some horror scene where it like grabbed his face. He was just like, that'll be enough of that. That'll be enough of that. What did he say? We said,
Phlox knows you got to be chilling.
He's not afraid of monsters.
Yeah. Phlox breeds
monsters. He's got a bunch of monsters.
He says,
"That'll be quite enough."
Yeah, it's because Phlox is the only one in any movie or TV universe that like is not phased. Anyone else, it would have like attacked their face. He's just like, "Nah, I can deal with this." At the end scene, like that little tentacle thing, it went to connect with its organism, but it looked like they were picking up a little baby.
Yeah, it looked so cute. It also looked a little bit. It looked cute.
Like a cute.
It looked like a cute baby. It also looked like a detachable penis.
Yes,
like they were slurping up a detachable penis. Cube song in your head there. Because we can't afford the rights to it, but detachable penis.
On the contrary,
my wife really liked that scene at the end with the little guy going back. Because it's kind of cute.
Yeah. So that means that I'm gonna go ahead and call him a they. I know it's technically one creature, but
T'Pol often simplifies. I think the which was it? Was
she's trying to dumb it down? But
which philosopher was it? Was it Lichtenstein? Wittgenstein? The one who says if a lion could speak English, you still wouldn't be able to communicate with it. I think
this is so wrong.
Vulcans and Star Trek in general sometimes, but particularly Vulcans sometimes oversimplify. They're all like confident. They're like blah blah blah. I'm going to use this category. Yeah. When honestly, I think whatever category we come up with is meaningless to this type of creature. And this episode was not about examining that, but it asked that. It's like a really interesting kind of question. Yeah. Like what is it like to be that kind of creature?
Jesse said something earlier about the organism, and I can't remember what it is he said earlier.
Oh, about has it absorbed other beings?
Right. So
because it clearly just started absorbing these,
or is
beings.
It like a fungus that just like grows?
So here's the thing: overall, I thought this was a really interesting episode. Yeah, it was was weird as shit.
Yeah,
it was a weird as shit episode.
What is one of the reasons why this episode was weird?
Other
was
than
from your perspective, all the cum.
I mean the whole like the fact that suddenly like out of nowhere they go from looking through this room to suddenly they're all tied up in this sort of like monster death cave of white tendrils
and
with dripping
everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's like, get out of here, and like nobody ever gets out of there.
Yeah, and they're all get caught. Wrapped up, but like,
and then one guy gets like pulled down the ladder.
But it just felt a little arbitrary that they decided that the monster was like integrating with people, because the only way we would know that it was integrating with people is the fact that they could start sharing thoughts.
Yeah.
Or the like in the world of Star Trek and sci-fi in general, there are many reasons why people start to share thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're telepathic, maybe they're linked interdimensionally, or maybe they're having a mind meld.
Vulcan mind meld.
But in this case, they greet each other's thought because they're integrated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the only reason hint we're given. Well, that's the only thing we're shown that shows us it's integrating with them, but the only thing that really confirms it is the fact that Phlox says they're being integrated. Mm-hmm. So we're never truly shown, like, if Phlox hadn't said that and they were just like, oh, we can read each other's thoughts. Like, you would have no idea that they were integrating, because it's not like they all started becoming like the same creature. They didn't become like an Akira monster where they were all like joined up and bulbous and weird and crazy.
Terrible.
Like, there was
thank goodness for that.
There's nothing in there that really indicated that they were integrating. That was my problem, is they told you and they did not show you. They showed you, you know,
it showed a little bit with the water polo business, but it was a little
water polo business
with you know, Trip being all like, why do I know about water polo?
No, but that's what I just said. No, that's what I just said, is they can read each other's thoughts.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying that it was a very limited way to present.
Right, because I'm saying there's so many reasons someone could read someone else's thoughts.
13 Reasons Why. Is that what it was called, that show?
Anyways,
the kid killing themselves?
Anyways,
13?
Look, I'm just saying that it was an instance that, like, I don't think they really put enough effort into showing that it was integrating with it. It was just like, oh, we can read each other's thoughts. That's because they're integrating. It just didn't send it across the message strong enough that they were integrating to me. Because what does it mean that they're integrating? What does the end stage integration look like? Do they just end up looking like these cum things? Is that what happens?
Spoken like a full stack software developer.
So, what?
That's I don't know if that applies to
so you. Jesse, that goes back to your question of like, if on the organism on the planet, is that just a bunch of absorbed like creatures from other planets,
right? Or whatever was there on the planet before it absorbed everybody. I don't know.
All right, well, we got to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to do a duty or no duty. We're going
to
talk about water polo,
talk about Mayweather,
we're talking about all sorts of business in this very interesting first season episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
Well, did you get that?
Be right back. Come.
I recommend we evacuate the entire deck.
Did you say ejaculate the entire deck?
I recommend we evacuate the entire deck. It'll take a few minutes.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Shall we continue?
Yes. We shall.
Yes, to Paul.
We shall.
We would like to continue.
Yes.
I would like to discuss your management style.
Yes.
You're doing pretty well.
Our duties.
But there's a few things you could improve.
Very much so.
When communicating with junior officers who are facing a crisis of confidence. You Vulcan crazy person.
For real.
Not in my sick bay.
I was reminded when T'Pol, at the whole resolution of the T'Pol Hoshi friction this episode is that Hoshi is frustrated that she's not able to solve these problems first with the Cretaceans. She knows that something has happened and that she feels that if she was better at her job, she could have prevented whatever the issue is. So she's already frustrated. She's now perceiving that T'Pol thinks she's a dumbass.
Well,
T'Pol's being a bit of
But T'Pol was being kind of,
you know,
T'Pol's being
that word we don't
exactly.
Say
T'Pol's being very Vulcan. I found fault on both of their sides.
So I want to say that the whole thing at the beginning when Hoshi's like all frustrated and T'Pol's like, when she's saying there's no need to react emotionally, try to learn from failure. It could help your next first contact be more successful. Like, there's a few things wrong with that statement. First of all, the whole time she said it, she had this little smirk on her face, being like, I'm being so logical, but really, I'm giving you shit.
I'm fucking so logical.
And she was giving her shit in the way where if Hoshi like was like, stop giving me shit, she'd be like, what? I'm just being really logical. You're being really emotional. Yeah. And so, first of all, so T'Pol's being snide and condescending, hiding behind logic, right? Second of all, she says there's no need to react emotionally. Try to learn from failure. Basically, she's saying you failed. Learn from it. She's straight up saying you failed. And then she goes, It could help your next first contact be more successful. So now she's drilling in the failure by saying the situation got fucked up and it was at least partially because of your failure. So maybe next time, if you don't fuck it up, it'll all work out. Nah. So she's just saying like, she's not even like saying like, yeah, you fucked up. She's like, just be more logical and it won't be so fucked up next time. So basically in the most obnoxious way possible, telling Hoshi in several different ways that she sucks.
I think that your analysis of this is a valid analysis. I'm slightly more generous to T'Pol in the context of the entire episode. All the various levels of storytelling in this episode are related to communication and miscommunication. And so for me, I didn't see T'Pol as being like snide or whatever. I don't think she at any moment. I don't think she meant anything negative towards Hoshi. I think for me the problem is she was not communicating her thoughts properly, because the way she was communicating them were easy for Hoshi to interpret as criticism, whereas to Paul, like you said, as a Vulcan, she'd be like, I'm just stating the facts. Yeah, but the Vulcans have to learn, yeah, but that's not, fuck you. That's not what that means. Like,
I feel like in the past we've talked about how, like, to Paul or some Vulcans in general will often, like, use logic and say they're being logical, but secretly they're, like, being, like, obnoxious.
Absolutely.
Being obnoxious.
I think that happens a lot, and I think even to Paul has done that. I don't think in this episode that's what we're meant to take away. In part because the resolution to that story is to Paul saying, yo, I think you're fucking awesome.
That is true, because she never said anything up till that point to indicate that she thought
in
that.
In fact, DePaul seemed kind of saying, why are you freaking out? Because, like, I think you're fucking awesome. That's why I'm, like, I hold you a high standard.
Yeah, that's lame, though.
I felt a similar thing because I got a very high score on a test once.
Oh, he's so smart. What test is it? The genius test? Did you ace the genius test?
Okay. So
did you get bonus points and A+ on this? I'm a super genius test.
I mean, it's not an A to B scale on the super genius test. Just FYI. I'll
you eat like you mate.
I'll be straight up, I don't know why I'm couching it this in high school. In the U.S. we take the SATs,
and I got the score that's better than anyone's ever gotten.
No, but I did on the SATs. There was a verbal SAT and a math SAT. Mm. I'm not much of a math person. I did okay on the math, but on the verbal SAT, I scored a perfect score.
Oh, just a perfect,
which is very rare.
I thought you would have scored a perfect +5. And I'm disappointed,
and I was very proud of this fact.
Yes, that's you're letting us all know right now.
No, I mean, and I'm not shy about. Why not be proud of that? That's cool. But here I'm getting to the point, Dan, and I think you in particular will appreciate.
I think I already know where you're going with this.
So I received my score. I was very excited. The school paper was writing about me on the.
Oh, stop the presses! Patrick got a perfect score on his SATs.
The school paper.
I think they pulled a lever. They pulled a lever and all the presses stopped and all the newspapers fell off.
Was it called
off
like
the
Raiders
thing.
Digest?
They're like, we lost our whole batch of newspapers and we broke our machine, but it's worth it because we get to report on Patrick getting a perfect score on his SATs.
I think you overestimate the output of the high school newspaper at the high school that you and I both attended, but
it was Raiders.
But it moves and grows.
I can't remember, but specific something racist, I'm sure.
Wasn't it called like Raiders Digest?
It was called like Go
Perhaps
Confederacy.
It attached itself to our ship.
No, the whole point of this that I'm now highly embarrassed by, but I'm not trying to big up myself, as they say. But when I watched this episode, I was reminded I was put in a similar situation at the end there, because I remember going to my English teacher, Mrs. Fall. Dan and I both had Mrs. Fall.
I heard about her.
We both challenged Mrs. Fall in our various ways.
Yes.
But I went to Mrs. Fall very proud of the fact. I said, Mrs. Fall, guess what? I got a perfect score on the verbal SAT. And she looked at me completely deadpan, straight up like a Vulcan. Like, no joke. Like, completely deadpan, looked at me and was like, well, I wouldn't have expected anything less from you. And like, it took me like 5 years to understand that was a compliment. At the time, I was like, oh, what? You're supposed to like jump and dance and sing. So when Hoshi had to deal with the exact same thing, I was like, okay, that sounds familiar.
Right. Don't worry.
I can see that.
Stop the presses.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
Next week, we'll highlight some of, I mean, Dan's playing dumb here. He has a lot of exceptional achievements in life, so maybe we'll highlight some of those next week.
I mean,
next week could be your week
if you want to.
The week of Dan. Fuck Star Trek.
I didn't say that.
I won the John Philip Sousa Award.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's about all I got.
No, you got. Well, you got
that was it. We don't have to do my week.
No. The duties or no duties. Yeah. Because I don't want to forget it.
I hate when
we forget the duties or no duties.
I want to finish up real quick the subject of the special effects, because I also wanted to mention that I was impressed, like, how much I wish there was a behind the scenes of this episode, because like at the end when Scott Bakula and Connor Chenier and Rostov, whoever played that guy, what did they have to go through to get wrapped up in all that
while we were watching, I was watching it with my family, and I was like, that this episode sucked to film because I was like, you kids don't maybe realize that they're there for like 12 hours a day, straight
sitting,
up hung up there.
Yeah, right.
All wrapped up in fucking semen.
Yeah, right.
Like not even real semen, like some sort of stinky Hollywood semen.
And I was impressed.
Smelled terrible.
And when it was unwrapping, I was really impressed with the way it was unwrapping because it, like, as it unwrapped, it like loosened its grip and you could see them kind of like falling in jerks.
And you know, that was probably six people behind the scenes, like doing all this crazy stuff to make that work.
Well, I was wondering, this is what I think probably happened. And I'm just guessing. I bet they were like on a platform and the platform was slowly lowering. So they were lowering, but as it was lowering, they were undoing the wrapping because they were constantly lowering. But every once in a while, they'd sort of jerk down as something came loose.
Right.
So whatever they were doing, it looked really complicated to be able to make them fall.
It was effective.
It make them fall in a way that was believable that they were getting unraveled downward from this
complicated?
Thing. Because it was like, because it like didn't happen in a steady motion. It was steady motion interjected by little jerks here and there.
A jerk in motion.
Like an organic being.
Like a jerking bean.
Yeah, for the audience at home,
a jerking bean.
You have guessed correctly. Dan is not just vigorously, but violently making a violent jerk off motion.
But it moves and grows.
And grows.
Okay, real quick, since you mentioned it, when the Cretacean captain's like, "Well, tell me what it looks like," and we spent like fucking five minutes with Mayweather being like, "Let me think." Well, it's like just say it looks like a bunch of cum. There's a bunch of cum all over. The Cretacean was like, "Oh, you mean the cum creature?"
Shit,
yeah, we've seen that. I did want one other thing about the special effects since you brought it up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't effectively directed and produced. Episode
very much so,
because even though the CGI definitely the tentacle CGI was pretty lame and stood out there, my wife when the tentacle like comes through the door all surprisingly, like she straight up screamed, like, you know, like proper, it had the effect because even though the technology was limited, the way they employed it was still pretty good. And one other
that was pretty crazy though when it came through the door and it was all like
and then I slammed the door on it. The one other example that really kind of stood
today
out to
me is just not my day.
You remember when Reed is like, he goes into the it's like sort of early on in the episode, Reed like goes into the cargo bay before they figure out what's going on, and he sees what's going on, and then Reed starts like, it shifts to this view of the camera looking at Reed, and Reed is like stumbling backwards and he looks terrified and the cameraman is just rushing towards him, and there was something like really like odd and not Star Trek and upsetting about that very brief, it was just a couple seconds, but it's stuck in my brain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's stuck in my brain, like,
you didn't see that thing go after the captain,
like something that
seemed hostile enough to me,
something that's stuck in some sort of a sticky substance.
Yeah.
Like drying, like a puddle of some sort of gross substance.
Like tendrils. Your face got stuck.
It's like a large mass of tendrils.
Tendrils.
Okay.
Speaking of emotions, I was thinking about how it must be annoying for Vulcans, like, because when Trip Tucker III came up to T'Pol and was like, "How's his mood?" You know, and she was like, "And she, how's his mood?" And she was like, you know, it's basically like, you know, stay away." Yeah. You know, it must be really like jarring for Vulcans to like have to take that into account when trying to like convey information to their like superiors or to anyone, to be like, okay, I've got this important information, but now's not a good time to tell them because they're pissed off. Like, Vulcans don't have that problem. Yeah. If Vulcans,
well, not even all humans have that problem.
No,
right?
It's true.
Archer is a little bit on the side of he gets impacted. Sisko, I think, would be another
one. But like, Vulcans super don't have that problem. Like, they can tell each other anything they need to know whenever they want.
In principle,
but like,
in practice, they're backstabbing Romulan types. They're just as bad as.
But like, I wonder how hard it is for like hard it was for T'Pol to have to navigate this minefield of human emotion when trying to like convey information. It's like, oh, I shouldn't tell him now because last time I told him when he was in this way, I got my head chewed off. Yeah. You know,
and she wouldn't have even understood that aphorism.
And then, she never says, she's not going around saying how everybody's smelly either.
No. I mean, she keeps it to herself. She mentions it from time to time.
She could have said that to Hoshi. Like, well, you're the smelliest of all.
She's like, that's
it. It seemed hostile enough to me.
But of course, we've mentioned it numerous times, but part of the fun of the T'Pol character and what Jolene Blaylock did so well was navigating that kind of early Vulcan human, figuring out how to deal with each other because they both aggravate each other, but they're also, you know, obviously good allies.
They look that way the entire time. 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 They look that way the entire time.
Doesn't he sound like super British? They look that way the entire time.
You look that way.
Let me tell you, Dan, he is super British. Like,
they look that way the entire time.
He sounds like he's like wearing like a like one of those little hats.
Gotta give a call home to the old Trouble and Strife.
They look that way the entire time. They look that way the entire time. They look that way the entire time. They look that way the entire time.
At the risk of further distracting us from duty.
They look that way the entire time.
Duty or no duty. Did you happen?
It's like Michael Caine. Like they look that way the entire time. They look that
the
way.
The Batman.
Duty or no duty.
Cider House rules. No, we are going to do duty or no duty. But again, because you brought it up or reminded me, and I know, Dan, you've talked about this before when it comes to clipping the sound clips, you have to be judicious. Mm-hmm. You have to put some judgment into it. Otherwise, you would just simply be clipping the entire episode, maybe even more than the entire episode with different combinations of overlapping this and that's and all the other things.
It's my job.
Did you happen to clip the quote, we're not talking about nouns and verbs here?
Yeah.
With all due respect, Hoshi, we're not talking about nouns and verbs here.
Verbs.
I'm so happy. Yes. Because when I watched that, I paused the TV and I was like, I bet Dan's going to clip.
Yep.
That happens a lot, but that was one where I was like, because he, when you hear that line of dialogue on a television show, I think nothing... It's one of those examples of like, this is Star Trek. We're watching Star Trek.
It's not nouns and verbs here.
You're probably not going to see this line. There's very few other shows that would be a line stated in earnest,
like
they're trying to solve a life-threatening situation. Yeah, right.
This is a nouns and verb. Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. You know.
With all due respect, Hoshi, we're not talking about nouns and verbs.
And what tops it off is when he begins with all due respect.
Because it's like, there's no respect. Yeah, there's no respect.
This
here.
Is a bunch of silly.
He's like, I want to kill this motherfucker.
Yeah, he just
thing.
Wants to start shooting. That's all he's about.
But that's
Tosca insult. Some kind of an insult.
That's
Kijas.
That's his job.
Skit, just glass.
I went Janata, just Tosca, Gistrata, Yirakua.
Skit, just skit, just glass.
Do you know who played the Cretacean captain?
He was a guy. He played some other stuff on Enterprise.
He played a lot of stuff in Star Trek.
Yeah,
we talked about him last week.
He was some kind of admiral. Or something.
He was on. He was on the episode we discussed last week.
That's right. He was.
It was Von Armstrong. Von Armstrong. He played the Romulan captain last week. He plays Admiral Forrest in Enterprise.
I thought the scene between him and Mayweather was like one of the most awesomest scenes.
Yeah, it was great.
It was something. Yeah. There was something amazing about that whole scene.
Well, Von Armstrong is a fantastic actor, but we've mentioned it before when we discuss Enterprise. Enterprise, you know, there's pluses and minuses. It had some bumps in the road, but in terms of production design, it does represent like the peak of that era, that TNG to Enterprise era of Star Trek, in that they still had styrofoam rock caves, but they were like hardcore awesome styrofoam rock caves. And the alien creature design, like this Cretacean alien, which we don't see again until Lower Decks.
Yeah, right. Cretacean. That's what I was thinking.
And they do a funny gag in the Lower Decks where the Cretacean, like, I think starts throwing up because it sees somebody eating. But he's like in a diner. Yeah. But anyway.
Apologize.
We'll talk about that later. But that the I don't know, the colors, the detail, that it looked so awesome. The tentacle hairs, it wasn't like I mean, the Kazon some bullshit, but this had some good hair.
Are we talking about the Mayweather?
Let's do duty or no duty, okay. And then we'll give Mayweather. I want to give Mayweather his due, since this particular series of Star Trek never did, or rarely
for
did.
Real.
Okay.
As first officer, it's my duty to supervise you. My duty. My duty. My duty.
I mean, I'm going to say it's a no duty for me. No duty. And to explain to people, again, I think context is clear. Dan's game, duty or no duty, is when somebody uses the word duty, but how do they pronounce it? Do they pronounce it duty with the hard T? Or do they pronounce it duty like a pile of feces?
With a squishy D.
Yes. That is a vile and a evocative way to put it, in a totally correct way to
squishy
put it.
Squishy D.
But it moves and grows.
I will have to say it's a no duty as well.
Another thing for new audience
members. We are correct.
Dan much prefers when it's a duty than when it's a duty. And I understand
that. Yeah, he likes that.
But for some reason, these guys like to say it's a no duty when it's still very obviously a duty.
Dan says for some reason, the reason is clear. It's that Jesse and I have much more refined ears.
No, because
Dan just shoves a bunch of gross shit in his ear.
You guys have been called out.
Fills his ears with cat food.
You guys have been called out by the audience for like calling duties
the
no duties.
Audience.
Yes, you have.
Jesse doesn't have any respect for the audience.
People have written in and said that you guys are crazy for saying the things you say about no duties.
Yeah, but anybody can fucking listen to this show.
I'm just saying, like, you're saying that I've got these weird, crazy ears that are just so crazy, but, like...
They're not crazy, they're just, you shove a bunch of, you put rice in your head or something?
Hey, asshole, I'm saying that I'm not the only one saying no duty, other people agree with me.
I think Dan is the only person in history who got infected with two of the SETI Alpha 5 creatures, one in each ear.
Oh, man.
Those are the SETI eels.
You must apologize to us for your offense.
I apologize. All
right. I'm just saying it's not just me who thinks that. Other people think
right.
that too.
You're right.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrong. This goes beyond duty, Sub-Commander. You've been looking over my shoulder ever
since. Now I'm going to start over again.
You guys are a lot of wrong people. You're so wrong.
Perhaps it attached itself to our ship. Perhaps it attached itself to our ship.
How about this one?
Like That'll be quite enough.
Do you like this one better?
Perhaps it attached itself to our ship.
It's like they're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. It is. Now play the Phlox one again.
Okay. Wait. You can't talk over it. Hold on.
That'll be quite enough.
Whoops. Wait. Hold on.
That'll be quite enough.
Do you think that's what he says after he ejaculates?
Yes.
And he's getting a space hand job?
Yes.
From one of his wives?
Not in my sickbay.
Perhaps all of his wives.
Perhaps it attached itself to our ship.
Wow, okay.
Another is a Hoshi duty or no duty?
This goes beyond duty, Sub-Commander. You've been looking over my shoulder ever since you came on board. Beyond duty, Sub-Commander. 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 Duty, Sub-Commander.
I'm going towards duty.
Dan is stressing his point, but absolutely, I agree with you,
Jesse. Wow, this is like...
This is a duty.
I don't remember the last time Jesse went duty.
Yeah, he goes duty from time to time.
Sometimes I go duty and sometimes I don't.
You went full on duty. Yeah. Well, you know what I think.
These are pretty stark ones. I think that recently there haven't been as many duty or no duties, and they've been fairly stark because sometimes they are on that border. Yeah.
You want to hear a weird like thing that happens with words, syllables in a sentence? Check this out. Okay, this sounds totally normal.
Okay, you've asked us what apparently is a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I know. that was really blatant. Sorry.
All right.
You want to hear something? Check it out. Of course you do.
Just pointing that out. Go right on.
No, that's fair. Fair point.
When you listen back to that, you're gonna fucking laugh your ass off.
Okay,
it was like artful. How little pause there was between the question.
I decided before I started speaking that like it was all one sentence. Okay, this sounds like a normal sentence, right?
If you want information to help you construct your force field, you'll acquire it under my supervision.
Sounds fairly normal for Star Trek.
Okay, now here's the last part.
You'll acquire it under my supervision.
Okay, you'll acquire it under my supervision. Here's the full one.
If you want information to help you construct your force field, you'll acquire it under my supervision.
If you cut it off at the right point, it sounds like this.
Field, you'll acquire it. Field, you'll acquire it.
Isn't that weird?
Field, you'll acquire it.
Can you play the whole thing again?
So it sounds like he's saying, you'll acquire it, right?
Yeah. Field, you'll acquire it. Field, you'll acquire it. If you want information to help you construct your force field, you'll acquire it under my supervision.
The field, word field sounds like you'll.
It's an oral illusion. Aural illusion.
So
aural.
Rotisserie chicken.
So the word field, listen to this. field sounds like Yul.
If you want information to help you construct your force field, you'll acquire it under my supervision. Field, you'll acquire it. Field, you'll acquire it.
I just think that was really weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is a little bit weird.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird and kooky, like me. I'm so weird and so kooky.
You are. That's true.
Okay.
Unless you're too busy with your brown dwarves.
He said brown dwarves.
Before we get to the main...
talking about cum, and now we're talking about poo.
I mean, I'm not.
Poo and cum. Yeah, you are.
I'm talking about cum, not poo. Hmm.
That much is obvious.
So, before the Mayweather thing, I just wanted to briefly touch base on something that I don't know if either of you will have an answer. Maybe somebody in the audience will have an answer. I'm sure the internet does, but I can't be bothered to.
Believe me, you'd be the first to know. Look,
the internet's so, always got an answer.
With all this water polo stuff, right? So, Trip.
This water polo
Trip brings some like fucking low resolution, like 320 by
yeah, I know
260
that only fit on like some big old microchip. Funny,
like, it's like a square
I said big
square
big,
chip things.
Big microchip.
It's funny like, that this series I said, was filmed in 16 by 9, but on their little monitors are like some fucking lame ass like 4 by 3, not even 4 by 3.
I said big microchip. Is that like saying jumbo shrimp?
Kinda.
I mean, it is, and in both cases, it's not that big a deal. It's not as big a deal as some people like to make it. And I'm somebody who enjoys semantics.
Yeah,
but that you know.
So yeah, that crazy. So first of all, I gotta say that Scott Bakula really like put his acting chops on display when it came to that water polo situation.
This is the question I have for you. And again, which you may not have an answer for. And if somebody out there in the audience, please let us know the deal here. Because what my question is, Trip gets him this tape of this water polo thing. Archer's all excited. And so there's a lot of this whole like Archer, you know, Trip is asking questions about water polo. And
best sport in the world.
They're drinking little beers and having pretzels.
Yeah, they're having
those pretzels little, look kind of gross.
Yeah, I was like, yuck.
Having a little German beer garden, little Munich beer garden.
The way he was sitting there with his beer, like he was sitting stiff with his beer in his right hand. Yeah. He was like with this big square jaw, like looking. He was just like, he's like, I'm so happy right now.
So my question is, and because I 100% agree with you, Dan, Scott Bakula does a brilliant job here of making it seem like he's enthusiastic about this nonsense, this water polo business, and no disrespect to people who are into water polo. But the question I have for the people who are into water polo is, I couldn't tell if Archer, when he's explaining like the rules and nuances of water polo to Trip, I couldn't tell if those are like actual real life water polo things, or if they're just making some shit up.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because to me, it almost sounded like,
I imagine so.
It was like the water polo version of techno babble, where Archer's just like, oh yeah, boo, bob, and man, you get a boo, right. I was just like, I don't know. This sounds reasonable. I don't know if this is real or not. Did they just make this up? Is water polo even a thing?
It sometimes is.
Maybe it's only on the Olympics. Because Chip's all like, how deep's the pool? And Archer's like, deep enough so nobody can touch the bottom. And I was like,
yeah, no shit.
First of all, no shit. But then on the other hand, I'm like, I mean, I get it. That makes sense. It's but it also makes game. It seem like such an infantile sport to be like, oh, we're all treading
water. But I mean, the thing, when somebody asks an expert on water polo how deep the pool is, that was my problem, is you would say, like, it's exactly 27 feet or whatever. Like, you wouldn't, of course, it's like deep enough that, like, your feet can't touch the ground. You can see that because in water polo cameras sometimes go underwater and you can see all their butts.
There's going to be a regulation, you know, depth.
Yeah. So I'm sure he would know exactly the depth.
Perhaps volume. The pool.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's just making this up. Maybe the writers or Scott Bakula, they were just like, yeah, just improvise them.
I mean, it has to be a joke. I mean, look, Archer can like water polo all he wants, but he has to recognize that it's just a weird thing about him, that it's not the best sport in the world.
It's water
like,
soccer.
Like, he can enjoy it. That's fine. But like, if I was like a big water polo fan, I wouldn't be like, best
sport in the world.
I'd be like, I love water polo. I understand that's kind of weird to me, but I love it. I wouldn't insist that it's better than everything.
Why is it water polo? It's water soccer, water basketball.
There's
no fucking horses in there.
It is the endearing, like one of the more, it was a very smart move for them to give Archer this peculiar character trait because it does counterbalance a lot of his other tendencies, both positive and negative, aggressive tendencies, a little bullheaded, to give him such a quirky, weird hobby. He's not like into baseball like Sisko or into like reading Shakespeare or something. He's or doing archaeology. He's like, I'm into water polo.
Yeah.
And then randomly I'm into mountain climbing.
Goal!
That one time.
When the goal scored, did you see like he got on his I can't even do it. He got like on his left foot.
Audience at home, Dan is attempting to get into his beginning to contort his body into the same position.
He goes, yes, like a little kid. He gets his one foot is like on the thing, and he's on his other knee, and he's doing like the fist pump with his off to the side. Like he's like, yes, like a little kid would do. Like it's like the most deliberate motion. When
I used to do that.
When Trip Tucker III brings up that disc, Archer's all pissed off, and then he sees that, and he gets quiet, and he's like, is that the water polo match? What I don't even remember. You know, he goes, what does he say?
It was some college water polo. That's the other funny thing is it's like college water polo,
like
that Archer's into.
Princeton or something.
It was Stanford.
Stanford.
Yeah, he goes, Tucker goes, Stanford versus Texas. And he goes, the finals? He goes, fresh out of subspace mailbag. But like
at the lowest resolution possible.
Yeah, I know. But like, so he gets this real serious look on his face. He's like, oh my God. And then like, he's like looking so pleased and happy with his beer, watching the shit. And I can't tell if Trip Tucker III is feigning interest or if he actually is starting to get into it.
He's feigning it. And I think that's the other aspect here is that Trip Tucker's asking some questions that I read as he's making a concerted effort to help his friend get out of a funk.
Yeah, but it did seem like he did kind of get into it at parts, but it did seem like a little exaggerated.
I think we've all been in this situation where both can be true.
Now,
where you might be doing something to help somebody out, but in the process, you do get wrapped up in it and enjoy it.
Now, this part, the uh-oh, when Trip Tucker III says, he goes, now, keep watching while Texas trounces your sorry California butts. And Archer, like the look on his face he gets, like he's drinking his beer and he just like drops his head. And he just looks like someone, he looks like...
Did he spoil it or was the Trip just that's what I wasn't clear on.
See, that's what I wasn't clear on either.
He just spoiled it. That's some bullshit.
Right. So this I wasn't clear on that, but like at first he got that look on his face like somebody just like knocked his drink out of his hand. Like if he was at the bar and someone came up and knocked his drink on the ground, he dropped his head and got this look on his face like somebody just like spit in his food or something. He looked like he was about to swing at Trip.
Well, he looked like somebody threw his dog Porthos into a pile of cum tentacles.
Amazing job by Scott Bakula to look pissed off by that. But then he's like, you didn't watch the end of the game, did you? And here's what's confusing. First of all, as if Trip Tucker III just couldn't fucking wait to watch this water polo match. He had to watch it. Like, that's like Archer
he would only do it in order to piss off Archer.
Like, that's something that Archer would do. Archer would be so hyped to watch a water polo game that he wouldn't wait for other people. So he thinks that everybody else is like that too. Yeah. He doesn't realize that he's the only person in the world that into water polo. But the way Trip Tucker III responded.
Seemingly the only person in history.
The way Trip Tucker III responded. Because he was like, did you watch the end of the game? And he goes, of course not. But the way he said it, he had this smirk on his face. And he said it in this way that's like, of course not. As
more
if like
a smirk.
Like, he said it in the way that somebody would say it if they had watched it till the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of saying like, no, I didn't watch the end. That's crazy.
I'd like to think he didn't. And also that why would he bother?
But you see the way he said, of course not. He like got this little sly smile. And he was like, of course not. As if like. Yeah, sure. I didn't. Meaning, like he actually did. Yeah. See, there's no reason for Trip Tucker III to have watched it because he doesn't care that much about water polo. But the way he said that he didn't watch it makes me think he watched it.
All right, we got to take a break.
Bama.
And we will continue.
It would be such a dick move, though. That would be a real dick move.
It would be a dick move.
Like, why would he want to? Like, that would be even worse than not bringing him the game in the first place. To bring him the game just to spoil it. That's even worse.
It would be much worse. That's why I tend to lean away from that, but it's a possibility. So we'll take a break, and when we get back, we'll conclude our discussion of this episode. We'll have Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before and all manner of other things when we get back. And when we get back, we'll be when I say we'll be right back. Come.
I think they want to leave. Stand by.
Semen.
And we're back.
We'll need to communicate with him better than last time.
Indeed.
It's been a long, long...
My wife always gets upset when the opening part, teaser or whatever, ends and it goes to the... hops right into the intro.
Did you compensate for frequency drift?
She didn't.
For some reason this time I couldn't like skip that part, so I had to mute it.
What if we used a bilateral algorithm?
I think I've gone all the way. I've mentioned this
you
before.
You always listen to that shit.
I don't always listen to it. I don't. I used to really, really hate it. So I'm empathetic with my wife, but I don't hate it as much as I used to.
There's no need to react emotionally.
I mean, when I first heard it, I was at a certain age where, like, I hate everything, and like, well, and like, it's a certain kind of thing, and it's so, it was so different than any other Star Trek song, obviously, mm-hmm. and I was just like, nah. Yeah.
Allowing your emotions to control you won't help solve this problem, Ensign.
But I still don't like it. I don't listen to it. Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah, I don't. I don't want.
Perhaps I can assist you
every time. All right. Okay. So what? Where the hell? Where the hell have I heard that before? That's what we call this, right?
Is that good or bad?
I think most people think it's good. People seem to enjoy it. This is an audience interaction game.
You sure that thing's working?
Aha!
That we play each week.
We play it every week.
We shorten it to WTHHIHTB.
What the fuck?
Is it a problem?
Where the hell have I heard it before?
Is it a problem? Is it a problem? Is it a problem?
The way this game works, and Dan enjoys confusing the audience a bit, because this is a clip-based game, but this is not one of Dan's clips.
Dan the obfuscator.
This is a separate, where we find a clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe and play the clip, usually some sort of out-of-context clip, and the goal is for you, the audience, to send in your guesses as to where that clip is from, you know, which show, which movie, which character, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It better be important.
And it's just meant to be a little bit of fun. Bit of fun. So last week, I'll play last week's clip, which was submitted to us. I've been picking these clips, but I did encourage the audience to send us in their ideas of what they thought would be a fun clip to play.
Good.
That might boggle the minds of the audience, that might challenge folks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It wasn't difficult.
And so last week, we got a submission from Kara at Zandera with an X on bluesky.com.
You'll be on the edge of your seat.
Longtime listener to the podcast. Thank you so much, Kara, for suggesting the last week's sound clip, which I will play right now.
Thank you.
Before we reveal people's guesses. Here we go.
Outside can be challenging.
Dangerous.
Well, this is one for the books.
Okay, Dan played an extra clip there. This unrelated to the actual clip.
I don't think they're going to get. I'm going to get back to that clip later. Yeah. That one for the books.
So that was the clip submitted by Kara, and here are the guesses. The first guess comes from Grayson.
Wait, you didn't ask us.
Oh, wait, you're right. I didn't ask you. Thank you, Dan. Really, seriously, I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
I feel really bad for not remembering that I was supposed to ask you. So, without any further delay...
You think it was my fault?
I do not think it was your fault.
Further delay.
I think
it wasn't our fault.
I was distracted.
It was simply a misunderstanding.
So, exactly. Exactly. That's what this episode is about. Communication. Classic.
Understood.
Classic. Understood.
Star Trek / Miyazaki Studio Ghibli style tale. So, Jesse and or Dan, do either of you have a guess as to where this clip is from?
Jesse?
No, I don't. I got no.
I think it's from the Discovery episode where they're on the fish people planet.
Oh, yeah?
It's the one, it's like the origin story for Fishman.
Discovery.
Are you referring Saru.
You're referring to Saru.
From Saru. Yeah,
you're calling him Fishman because
because he was in the fish movie.
Because
he was in
kelp.
The fish movie,
and he's a Kelpian, which is like he's kelp. He's kelp.
He's associated kelp with kelp. He played the sexy Fishman.
Isn't this from
the Come in the Water movie?
Isn't this the short trek where it's like the origin story of Saru?
That movie with the fish guy. That was him.
It's called
The Shape of Water.
Water. Semen. Yes, water.
That's hard to say.
There's much less semen.
It's called
and grows.
It's called Come in the Water.
The semen in that movie is all implied and not
explied.
Del Toro did not explicitly show the fish semen. I don't know. Does he spawn?
It's called shrimping. Is it?
excuse me.
Enough of that. Okay, so Dan's Jesse no guess. Dan's Dan guesses the short trek with some background information on Saru and his fish people, the Kelpians.
They're
not really fish. They're more like weird, like horseshoe people. Yeah. Not horseshoe. Or
horsefish.
Seahorse.
Horsefish.
They're fancy.
They have like
hippocampus.
Little like gallopy. Don't they have like hooves? Don't they have hooves?
My hooves. Look at my hooves.
He's got hoovy bits.
Yeah. Daddy, I'm a farmer. Daddy, look at me. I'm a farmer.
Now, can you?
Freddie got fingered.
Yes, thank you. Freddie got
fingered. Everybody out there, go watch the uncensored version of Freddie Got Fingered.
But be warned.
Be warned.
But a thing to note about Freddy
Got Fingered. Don't give
it away. I won't give it. I'm not going to give anything away about Freddy Got Fingered. It is Tom Green, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anybody remembers him, who has a complicated. He's a complicated person. So Tom Green made this movie because Tom Green was briefly super successful. Yeah. They gave him money to make a movie. He did exactly the right thing.
He dated Drew Barrymore.
He made Freddy Got Fingered, which you have to see, as Dan is suggesting, you have to see to understand the deal. And I'll just give you a further enticement. If you're like, I'm not going to fucking bother to watch Freddy Got Fingered just because they mentioned it on the It's Got Star Trek.
Of course not.
We mention stuff all the time. Here's just an added enticement for why you might want to go watch Freddy Got Fingered. And I apologize for this digression, but this is important. Because Roger Ebert, famed movie reviewer, when Freddy Got Fingered came out, he gave it an abysmal review. Yeah. Just like talking about what a waste of time, how ridiculous, like really like ruining the culture, etc. And then a few years later, I don't know, it was like maybe 10 years later or something, he wrote another review.
Yeah.
And he was like, here's the thing. He's like, I know I gave it a bad review, but he's like, I can't, like in the last 10 years, I have not been able to stop thinking about that movie. And he said, a movie that doesn't leave my head, he said, it's impacted my life, so I can't dismiss it.
Yeah, I
have to take back some of the things I said.
I think what he said was something to the effect of, is like, I still don't give it a good review, but I have to give it credit, basically, for the fact that I keep thinking about it.
It impacted his life.
He was like, it was going for something.
It impacted his life.
It was like, it was going for something, and I have to give it credit for that. So
just go watch it.
Like, has Roger Ebert ever like been like thought about him come back to a movie like that before?
not in that way. I'm sure he's softened or changed views a little bit here and there, but that was unusual for him.
I mean,
he wrote a whole separate essay about his reaction to that movie.
And I think like part of the deal was Tom Green.
Daddy,
like,
do you want some sauce?
That blows my mind.
I'm backward, man. I can walk back as fast as you can.
Go watch the movie so you can understand these hilarious references.
I think like the deal was, is the studio gave him a lot of money and he purposefully just spent it on total bullshit. Not like stuff outside. He spent it on the movie, but he just spent like really inefficient. Like
when you see the movie, you'll see what he spent it on.
He was like, they were expecting one thing and he like kind of like purposely fucked up. Mm-hmm. All their like whatever they expected, he was just like, he basically was like, fuck you guys, and he just made whatever the fuck he wanted, and they never gave him money for a movie after that.
Okay,
I don't think they were happy.
Wasn't he in like Road Trip or something?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was actually
the first one.
He was funny,
along with that guy that looks like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
That kid in Road Trip looks like Jerry Seinfeld.
Which one? Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Was he the drug one?
Yeah, I think he was the drug one,
drug dealer one. Man, Road Trip I don't know. I hesitate to recommend it because I have fond memories of that movie, but that's that era of movies that when you go back, you're
dated.
You know?
Do you think that's wise, Doctor?
Precisely. Thank you, Mr. Reed. Okay, let's go to our guesses for last week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before clip.
Any progress?
Who the hell has responded to it?
Grayson writes in and says, Dear Larry, Curly, and Moe. This is from a little-known but very special Monk/Voyager crossover episode. This is clearly adorably obsessive compulsive detective Adrian Monk. He bonks his head after tripping over a dead body while reaching for hand sanitizer dispenser and wakes up on Voyager. Monk realizes he's also agoraphobic when Janeway tells him he's needed on an away mission to solve a murder on a planet inhabited by sentient germs that live in an ocean of milk. Why does he sound like that? Tachyons, probably. Or it's the caretaker?
Son of a bitch.
Hi, Isaac. Grayson. So,
thanks, Agamus.
Thank you so much, Grayson. And again, I will never stop recommending Grayson's podcast, the Prime Detective, short form, connecting true crime and Star Trek in super interesting ways. And I am amazed that Grayson can put out episode after episode. There's way more content on this subject than I would have guessed. So
okay, let's go
check that out. But unfortunately, Grayson, no, your guesses are not correct. So we'll move along home, and we'll see. Is Dan correct? We got a message from Jennifer.
These are our messages.
Jennifer spelt slightly oddly on Mastodon. Jennifer spelled Jennipher,
fancy.
I wonder if that's a legal spelling or simply a clever internet affectation.
It's a rogue spelling.
But regardless,
the line is on it.
Regardless, Jennifer says, I know this week's WTHHIHTB.
Hi.
It's Discovery, Season 3, Episode 13, That Hope Is You, Part 2.
Oh, damn.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Where an out-of-costume Saru is talking to Sukal.
Oh.
It's sweet, but also funny. Thanks so much. Sukal was the Kelpian who caused the burn, somewhat controversially, right? And it was that whole weird scenario where we see Saru, but he looks like
a human, and the other people look like different aliens than they are. Like one of them's a Trill.
That's right. It's all mixed up and goofy, and I forget exactly the context.
I forget exactly.
Where would I stay?
But yeah, it's because they're trying to kind of coax Sukal out of, like, you know, causing universe destroying problems. And so it's Sukal who's like, dangerous. I like that, Kara. That was a hard one. It was a hard one. Didn't get, but I like it. I like hard ones.
Yes, you do.
I love hard ones.
But it moves and grows.
You don't know the half of it.
Those were the only responses.
Those were the only responses this week.
That jam eater didn't respond.
Isaac. Isaac did not respond this week, but that's okay, because that was a difficult one. But I like that. Like I
must
said,
have given
like
him too much anxiety.
Yeah, it could be. Thanks, Kara, for the clip suggestion.
Thanks, Agamemnon. So here's the thing. Like, I feel like kind of like it's like I feel like if I'm doing a Star Trek podcast, I should be getting more of these right. You know what I mean?
No, but they're meant to be difficult.
It's really hard.
Remember,
I want to make something clear.
Hard ones.
Last week when you did the
not you want to make it clear, not sort of milky opaque, like a milky opaque liquid sort of spilling across the ground.
I don't get it. You don't get it.
You get it.
Milky opaque.
Last week when we did the crossover Strange New Worlds with Lower Decks. Jesse's the one who said it was Lower Decks.
Yeah, I was totally tricked.
And Patrick, you were like, both you guys are wrong. It's not Lower Decks. If you listen back, I never officially said it was Lower Decks.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying that.
I never officially said it was Lower Decks.
That was all me. I was like, blah, blah, blah.
I will sort of...
Now, one could listen to it and be like, well, you may not have said it, but that's what you thought. Okay. But I'll take that. But I never officially said it.
Okay. Well, we'll assume that you're correct. I'll go back and listen to Double
Check. Don't assume.
No, I'm not. No, I'm going to say for the time being... I will give you a provision. I will make a provisional apology, but that provisional apology is, it's dependent on me going back and listening and agreeing with your interpretation of events.
Your apology is accepted.
Okay, excellent. My provisional apology is accepted.
A provisional apology.
Talk about it next week and see what's up. All right, but thanks for sending in those guesses. Now, we will play the clip for next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The clip for, or this week, I guess, is this week's clip. And you have until Friday to send in the guesses. This week's
Let's
clip.
Let's hear it again.
This it's been a long, long... We haven't even heard it the first time, Jesse.
Oh, I thought that was
no,
it.
No, we heard last week's clip, Jesse. Remember?
I thought that laughing was it.
No.
Not in my sick bay.
No. I haven't played the clip.
He's just...
I know. Dan is confusing.
He's being silly.
It's part of the fun. But this week's clip... that people have until Friday to send us their guess about was submitted by Amy. And Amy is like the superstar of this game, totally. Right? Amy is really good at guessing these. And so this week, she's provided us with a clip to use.
Unless you're too busy with your brown dwarves.
So
those guys had brown dwarves.
So I will play the clip once, and then I'll jibber jabber for a moment, and then I'll play it again, give you a second opportunity, and then I'll tell you how to...
Perhaps
how to,
I will jibber jabber a bit.
Too. How to contact us. So here's the clip that you got until Friday to guess.
Now, start at the beginning.
Has it ever occurred to you that a tachyon beam directed at a Class B itinerant pulsar could produce enough gravimetric energy to create an artificial singularity?
I can't say it has.
It occurred to me.
Artificial singularity.
I think I've heard that.
Artificial
I just
singularity.
Don't know.
I've no doubt that you've heard that, but again,
I imagine so.
I've seen a lot of stuff.
Where the hell have you heard that before?
Where the hell have I heard that?
Yeah.
And where it should,
and not only Dan.
What the hell was that?
What the fuck, dude?
It should be challenging, and as we've discussed before, because of an accident in how we set up this podcast,
accident.
we have created the a podcast that is really targeted to people who've seen all of Star Trek. and know it all very well.
But we're not geeks.
So that's why, in order to be challenging for that specific, very narrow audience, we need to have these very, very difficult to guess.
In case
clips.
You, when I was talking earlier about Archer watching water polo, mm-hmm. the time when he got on his foot and his knee and pumped his fist like a child, mm-hmm. like when he was all excited. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it was this part.
Come on. Come on.
Yes. When he goes, yes, he's like goes, he's like facing like kind of towards the camera, and then he goes completely profile sideways with his fist pumped. He's like, yes, it's slow and deliberate and amazing.
Very cute.
Amazing.
Can you guys see what I'm doing? He's like this.
The audience can't.
Incredible.
Can you see what I'm doing?
Jesse
I'm
like, and I can see yes. it quite well.
I can see it. Maybe right in my face.
Maybe if I do it enough, it'll
it's 2 feet away from
it'll, me. It'll translate to the audience.
I don't believe
I'm
so.
I'm starting to yes! feel. I'm a little scared now that you're gonna punch me in the face.
Yeah. Gonna lunge over the studio table.
Sure,
okay.
You can. In your
so I'll play the clip one more time and then tell you where to send your guesses. Here's the clip. Listen close.
Now, start at the beginning.
Has it ever occurred to you that a tachyon beam directed at a Class B itinerant pulsar could produce enough gravimetric energy to create an artificial singularity?
Hmm. I can't say it has.
It occurred to me.
It occurred to
me. That'll be quite enough.
Occurred to me once before.
So, if you want to send in your guesses, just you can write us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or send us a direct message on social media.
Is that fair? It gives you guys an advantage.
We're at It's Got Star Trek on most social media, Facebook, YouTube, etc., etc. So,
and I thought it was just a bunch of guys screwing around in a pool.
Yeah. Send those guesses, or alternatively, or send a guess and a suggestion for a clip that you think would be tricky for Star Trek fans to figure out, but would be fun too. Because I've found like a couple of the clips I selected, people are like, "What? I don't know what the fuck that is." It's just like somebody laughing.
Oh, you know, now I don't know if the Archer pump was this one.
Nice. The goal.
Was it that one, or was it this?
Come on.
You called it.
Come on.
The Archer pump.
Yes.
It's got to be that second one. I think it's the one you talked about.
Not this one.
Nice. Goal. Nice.
I mean, I don't know for certain, but because that one, I think he's bouncing the ball. Because does he do that in this episode? Because you know how he sometimes will, maybe he didn't do that. Sometimes he absentmindedly bounces his water polo ball that he took to space.
I was so focused on his physical actions that I just can't remember the sounds around
the physical actions of the
semen Archer, monster coming everywhere.
No,
yes.
I was saying
it's coming all over my face and in my nose and in my eyeballs and it went up my butt and came out my mouth.
This is another.
And I was taking a swim in a big pool, Olympic sized pool of semen and shit.
Audience
and
at
I
home.
Ate it, and I rubbed it all over my body, and I walked
acting out all of this,
and I walked to work covered in semen, and everyone was like, "Dan, you smell so good today." And I'm like, "Thanks, it's because I'm covered in cum." And they're like, "Oh, I want some cum."
Dan,
and they
work from home.
And they grabbed all the cum off me, and they rubbed it on their face.
You work from
and we
home.
All had
You're
a great time,
work.
And we played Nintendo,
you live in
and we
Arlington.
Ate burritos.
You ain't walking anywhere,
even though it's a very walkable city, Arlington.
Yeah, I'm probably walking more places than you are out in Vienna. Seriously,
I walk all over Vienna, man.
Man, Arlington is more walkable in Vienna. I don't even know what you're talking about. You like come up with these like you're like Arlington, and then you say some shit.
Here in Annandale, we walk more than any motherfucker.
No, I actually like Arlington. I'm just being silly.
That's you're been just, your local.
Just, like, give me
I
shit.
Actually think where you live is a very nice place.
Local Northern Virginia chat,
and I think it's just fine.
Well, okay. I think you live in a nice place too. Yeah. Yeah. I like that you like. I like that you can hear like the marching band.
Mm. Oh yeah.
It's awesome. You hear those quads banging away? I like that.
All right. Back to the show that we're doing here. We got to finish
this. It's like a large mass of tendrils.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. Good segue because we did not want to make the same mistake that the entire series of Star Trek Enterprise made, which is to give short shrift to Mayweather.
Yes.
Travis Mayweather, who is a fun, interesting character. He was somebody who grew up on slow warp freighters. So much potential for interesting stuff. Fun actor and very rarely got to do anything. But in this episode, one of the rare, particularly season one episodes where he really got to have some fun. I know it's not a tremendous amount of scenes, but it was fun.
I was thinking about if if Archer was in the same position as Mayweather was in this episode, mm-hmm. it would not have resolved. Archer would have been fuming the whole time.
He would not have been. He would find it harder to apologize.
Yes, he would be. He would have been pissed off, and it would not have gone well with those people. But Mayweather was able to like defuse the whole scenario. Okay, so I really,
he was less involved probably initially.
So
he was good at communicating, even though he took the long way round of describing the cum monster.
So this, so this is like 10, 12 seconds. So you just listen to this. Right. Listen to this. I really like this exchange for some reason.
You hailed us?
You speak English.
We studied your database. It wasn't difficult.
Hey, come on. You can't. I said no.
He's just laughing.
You can't talk over. Can we just not right. say anything over top, please?
Jesse and I will lean back. Okay,
I just want to hear the scene.
No worries, we'll be back here. So it'll be like, ha ha, one of those faraway laughs.
You hailed us?
You speak English.
We studied your database. It wasn't difficult.
Okay.
I just like how he says okay at the end. He's like, okay.
I like that you had to replay that entire thing because there was like 1 second left.
That's how it works around with me.
Right, we have around. You're about to say around here, but you correctly said with me.
Around here with me.
With yes.
I like how he was just like, yeah, we just learned it.
Like, yeah, because I
whatever it is.
Because he's like, out of nowhere, the guy's just like, he's like, yeah, we studied your database. It wasn't difficult. Yeah. Like he's just like, he's like talking about it was easy. We can do it, no problem. And like Mayweather's supposed to be impressed, but he's just like, okay.
So like,
he's basically Mayweather's basically like saying like, fuck you, I don't give a fuck, except he's doing it in like the most diplomatic way you could possibly do it.
Maybe Mayweather's from like do we know where he's from? I can't remember where he's from originally. I think is Hoshi from Seattle. I was gonna say Mayweather might be from the south of the United States where they say bless your heart, because he kind of had a bless your heart attitude.
But the way he said that, it was like bless your heart would rile me up. But the way,
but not the alien. The alien wouldn't understand that bless your heart means fuck you.
But like, but the way Mayweather said it was totally disarming and diffusing. Archer would have like fucked that whole thing up. Yeah. But the way he just was like, okay, like kind of saying like, cool, you know, like great, you figured out, you're smart, real smart. Who cares, you know? But like I said, his whole approach to that whole interaction was just so like perfect and diplomatic, and it just was exactly the right character to use for that whole scene.
The joke about the Cretaceans in Lord of the Rings,
Jesus, yeah,
in Lower Decks.
I love the scene with all the Cretaceans when they fight the Uruk-hai.
If I remember correctly,
they got mad because the Uruk-hai started eating hobbits
in front of them. The gag is that the Cretaceans like in an eating establishment and is getting sick because everyone's eating, which made me think when watching this episode that gag so perfectly encapsulates the problem with this group of people, because the Cretaceans must have really miserable first contacts with pretty much everyone they meet, because everyone in this sector, in this quadrant, doesn't hide their eating. Although I appreciated the whole cultural difference aspect.
But I think they did something on purpose with the whole food scene, but where there was Hoshi, Mayweather, and Malcolm Reed, there was the food scene where they were talking about the Cretaceans being offended. They were all talking about the Cretaceans. It's hilarious because they're wondering what could have offended them, right? Meanwhile, if you watch the scene, it's as if the director was like, okay, the most important thing you can do in this scene is make sure that everybody is painfully aware that you're scarfing down like tons of food.
Because
they're clanking and gobbling and they're smacking. At one point, Travis is talking and he does the thing where he half covers his mouth because he's talking with a mouth mouthful of food going rah, 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 and they're like smacking and
eating crawfish.
They're all animated about eating, and it looks really tasty, by the way. But there's something really weird because they have this scene there, and it's just all this like food, and then it like has a shot to Hoshi and she's like looks at them and she looks down and makes it seem like she's like looking down at their food
and she's figuring it out.
And then there's some then they extend the scene, like the scene goes on, they start talking about this movie and it's just like it just felt like they were just like trying to be like, 50s. Yeah, the Cretaceans are prudes, but the way you guys are eating is just like kind of like maniacal.
I was briefly confused because they were they said the title of the movie and they said it was a French movie, and which I'm forgetting at the moment. And then they described the plot, and then they're describing the plot of the movie, and I said they're describing the plot to Sorcerer, which is an awesome Roy Scheider movie,
Wages of Fear.
And then because I didn't know this before, I looked up. I looked it up, and Sorcerer is a remake of the same book that Wages of Fear is a remake based on. So Sorcerer is a 70s movie.
By the
brilliant fucking movie.
By the way, those are some shitty movie watching conditions. First of all, those chairs looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And did you see that popcorn bowl? It was all wrong. The when Reed was all like talking and he goes like
this is all wrong.
He must have been talking about that popcorn bowl, because that popcorn bowl was too wide. It was wide and shallow, and everyone knows popcorn bowls are supposed to be thin and deep.
Yeah, it's the future.
But it was like wide and shallow.
Yeah,
and the chairs look so uncomfortable.
Oh, by the way, Mayweather was born on a spaceship, so he's not really technically from North America at all.
That's right.
So he's not from like the South.
Yeah.
They don't have birthright citizenship in the earth.
So when the Kutazin answers, Mayweather goes, "We have a problem." And the captain goes,
"Yes."
He's like, "Yeah, okay." And he's like, "There's an alien organism on our ship." And the captain goes,
"Yes."
It sounds like the captain's like, he's starting to know what he's talking about already. Yeah. He's like, And then
I got that a little bit too.
And then the whole apology scene is funny, because he's talking about like, you know, put your food in your mouth. He goes, "You mean eat?" He's like, "Yes, eat." And he goes, "I don't understand." He goes, "It's like mating. It's very offensive." And then Travis goes, "How do you eat?" I like how the captain responds. He's like, "Well, we eat the same way.
Yeah, we shove it up our asses.
we do it the same way." But
hide in a closet.
But then he demands an apology. And then when Mayweather gives the apology, he's very deliberate. He thinks about it for a second, and he's like, "Apology accepted."
Your apology is accepted.
It was like so ceremonial. But then, of course, this whole thing was the whole situation where the standard alien mad at the human, where the alien gets offended by the human, and the human has to take it and be tolerant, but the alien need not be tolerant at all. And on top of that, the alien makes it an even worse offense by accidentally unleashing a plasma monster on the ship.
No, it was a cum monster.
Yeah. Okay, cum monster.
And by the way, like,
which makes it more funny that they demand an apology because they ate in front of them. It's like, where's our apology for releasing this monster? But of course they go, it stowed away on our ship. It wasn't our fault. No. They go, "It wasn't. What do you mean it's not your fault?
They're assholes. They're assholes."
Of course it was your fault. Okay. And generally speaking, no matter how something got attached to your shit, if you unleash hell on another ship, you can't say it's not your fault. It came from your
liable,
ship.
Yeah.
You're liable. Yeah.
Okay.
But he's just like, it's not our fault.
He's just, Mayweather describes the alien to this fellow. And he says, "Oh yeah, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
We've seen it on the home planet of this species, this organism." Like, okay, it's all over the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Right. So they thought like landing on a planet that was covered in organism, they didn't get a little on them afterwards.
Right.
They're assholes. Everything about them seem like an asshole.
But that's what happens with so many aliens in these shows, is the aliens are always super, super intolerant and have a worse offense in the end than what the humans have to apologize for.
All right. So any other final points?
I told you.
So fuck those guys.
It was a fun episode. Fun cum episode. Lots of cum. Lots of semen.
We had a fun discussion.
Stringy bits. Good sci-fi. Good acting. Good communications. Good.
Oh, when Kelly was like saying to Rostov was like, "We're going to miss the beginning." And she goes like, "It's on the computer. You can watch it whenever you want." That's like a psychotic. That's what a psycho would say. A psycho would say, "Start a movie 10 minutes in and then watch the beginning afterwards."
I 100% agree.
That's like... unreasonable.
I say that I've been late to a movie that I've desperately wanted to see like 2 minutes late, and I've not gone in. I'm not seeing it.
I have to ask a quick question from one of from Becky, a compatriot of my brother Rob.
Okay.
Yes.
The question is between Jesse and Patrick, who would be the red shirt, who would be the gold shirt, and who would be the blue shirt?
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
And now, which era? TOS?
Yeah, are you talking about which era?
That wasn't specified.
Because
it's like command versus... It's like command versus sciences versus like security and operations.
Versus who dies?
Yeah. Well, also the red shirts. Well, I mean, because I thought these two red shirts, I forgot that they survived.
Okay, so
you have two people you don't know and they're like, "What's going to happen today?"
When the red shirts were expendable... That particular branch was in
security.
It was ops.
So we're saying who's security, who is engineering science, and who is
management? It's not red shirt by the like TNG, the red people are the command.
Yeah,
I mean, Patrick's the only one who's been a manager, so I guess he's a gold shirt.
I'm Mr. Manager.
Yeah, he's a gold shirt
or a red if it's TNG.
Why is that what red is in TNG?
They switch in TNG era, and apparently it's because I think like the yellow didn't look good on Patrick Stewart, so they switched it.
Okay, well, consider...
But that could be like, you could fly the shit or you can shoot it.
So that means either...
I can fly the shit or
so
I can shoot it.
Either I'm...
I don't have to be the
either
captain.
Either I'm science and engineering... Or I mean, I'm
did
security.
Did you specify that it could only be one of
well,
each?
Well, there's
or
science.
Couldn't we all be the same color?
Engineering is like ops. It's not. It's science is.
I don't know how restrictive the question is, Dan, because you know it could be that we're all.
We could all be the same,
but we're blue shirt science nerds.
Well, I'm gonna.
I don't think I'm
I mean, I'm more. I mean, I'm more blue shirt than I am like anything else. I would imagine. Not saying that I'm super smart or anything. I'm just saying, like, I mean, you know, I like to you know. Wrestle.
Dan is making boxing motions, like 1920s boxing motions. He likes to have street fights.
No, I like to wrestle around with my buds, you know?
Dan likes to get out in the street and
that's true.
And tousle with some local toughs.
I like to you know, strip down and do some Turkish wrestling with my buds.
You were wrestling in
you
Philly.
You kept getting into, because Dan was on the high school wrestling team, and they kept saying this is Greco-Roman, not Turkish wrestling, right? And you kept getting in trouble for doing Turkish style wrestling.
Because I was all oiled up, and I grabbed down the front of their pants, you know, and they didn't like that. Singlet, sorry.
Those little kids in Philly came up, and they were like, kick his ace.
His ace.
Kick his ace.
John.
So, Jesse, you didn't say what you were.
I don't know. I think I like to shoot phasers or shoot like
so you're
torpedoes
red,
or
so
something.
You're a red shirt?
So I could be like.
We're talking TOS era, I guess.
True, yeah.
Or is that, yeah, whatever it is in TOS.
That would be red shirt?
The guys that shoot.
Well, wouldn't blue
it depends.
Well, because
it's sort of, red it's sort of and it could be red
well,
or yellow.
Well, you're, so you're
it
like,
sort of depends on what the job
so
is.
So you're more
I
like
think.
A Malcolm Reed then.
Perhaps.
Because you're more tactical.
Yeah, perhaps the tactical...
So you're
tactical,
less security and more tactical.
I would say more tactical, less security.
I like the idea of being...
I don't really like cops.
I like being more... I like the idea of... Not that I'm anywhere near as smart as Geordi, but I like the idea of more being like a Geordi kind of guy.
Geordi's got... I like that problem solving.
You're more Geordi than I am, yes.
Yeah, or Data. Data's another problem.
So Geordi... So the blue shirts in TOS were the yellow shirts in TNG.
No, not blue.
No, the red. Yellow shirts were the... Yellow and red switched. Blue basically has always been medical and science. Like more pure science. Red used to be like security, engineering, etc. And yellow used to be command, pilot, command, etc.
But Picard
in
was
TNG,
red.
They just yeah, exactly. In
but
TNG,
then
Geordi they switched
was,
it.
But Geordi became yellow.
Because he became an engineer. Engineers are yellow.
Yeah. He started out red.
So you're saying red was engineer in TOS?
Yes. Scotty wore red.
But I thought, security
Scotty,
was red.
Security wears yellow. It literally exactly transposes yellow and red from TNG.
Okay, so what is blue? Blue is medical?
And like O'Hara was communications and she was red too.
So blue is if you're a doctor, if you're a research scientist doing it, like a biologist, geologist.
So Patrick's either gold or blue.
I'd probably be red. Well, no, I'd probably be gold for TOS era management style.
So then both of us would be blue. Both of us would
stuff.
Be reds.
You
then.
Take the you get the information together
red,
and then
reds
you make a decision.
Or yellows in TNG. Yeah.
But you'd be like a red tactical and I'd be a red engineering.
Yeah.
There we go.
I better red than dead.
There you go, Becky.
No, better dead than red. Sorry. Oh no, they're gonna come after me. Okay, anyway,
I like it the way you said.
Oh, we've gone way over here. So, there, any final points? So, any final sound clips?
So, there, Becky, we answered your question.
Ah, yes, thank you, Becky. Becky's communicated to us before.
Has she?
Rob. I think
well,
so.
Probably through Rob. Yeah. I was supposed to have answered this a couple weeks ago, but I kept forgetting.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
Keep them coming, Becky. This helps endear us to the audience. They learn a little bit more about us. So, while Dan. Claims that he has no more sound clips, but he'll remember it as I'm closing down the show.
That'll be quite enough.
thank you for
There's
listening.
An alien organism on our ship.
This week, putting up with all the cum talk, and next week, we're going to go to TOS, as it happens, and discuss the very classic episode, Errand of Mercy.
Now, could I have those coordinates?
I think it's season one, episode. It's towards the end.
Episode.
Where they introduce the Klingons. I think it'll be an interesting one to discuss. So
best sport in the world.
Always fun to discuss TOS. So watch Errand of Mercy. Send in your WTTPP. Where the hell have I heard that before? Guess
if you intend to pummel this appendage with EM radiation until it cries for mercy, I'm afraid I can't permit that.
I've heard that shit before.
Social media edits, got Star Trek, etc., etc., etc. Goodbye.
We gotta get out.
He's out.